The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of land that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we do understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see, the fields are ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that reaper and sower can rejoice together. For there is the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. Because of the word, the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have a great view of the window from here. Jesus is hot and tired from his journey. And you have to understand, in the Middle East, you know, in very ancient times, the cities were built on tops of hills where they could be defended. The water never flows to the tops of the hills, and so the wells were down in the valleys. And there was a daily ritual that the women would do every morning and evening, and they'd go down to the well and get some water and bring it back to their household, and in the evening do the same. And they did it in the cool of the morning and late evening because it was hot in the desert. And so if you're showing up at the well at noon, well, you're not welcome to go out with the women of the town and get water. And so the disciples felt pretty sure that they could leave Jesus alone and he wouldn't get into any trouble. Little do they know, he gets into trouble all the time. And here, he's caught talking with a woman and there's no chaperone. Jesus, what were you thinking? Even in the Middle East today, that's not allowed. You would never be seen with a woman who was not your sister, or your mother, or your spouse, out in public. And Jesus engages her in a long conversation. He's the one that starts it. We have no indication that the woman of the well wanted to do anything but get some water and get out of there. And he says, could I have a drink? Being a little forward. And she's like, no, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We can't talk to each other. You can't even touch a cup I would hand you the water in. What were you thinking, crazy Jew? Now, get out of the way. I want some water. Right? She's ready to dismiss this one because she's really thirsty and she's got an empty bucket. She wants it filled. And what happens? Jesus says, well, if you knew the gift of God, lack of self-esteem there, who was talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living waters welling up to eternal life and you'd never have to come to this well again. And she's like, yes, give me that water. But wait a minute. This welling up to eternal life doesn't sound like it's ever going to get us wet. But isn't it going to slack a thirst that we all have? Augustine talks about, I was restless and searching after the things of this world. I was chasing you and I couldn't find you, Lord, until I rested in you, until I was baptized and found the source of living water within me, waking up to God's presence and action within. Augustine comes alive. The woman at the well is about to have this happen. And we get to journey with her. We don't stand like dehydrated Israelites stomping around in the dust in the desert going, we'd really like to be in slavery again. Could you send us back to Egypt? They've got to be dehydrated, seriously dehydrated, to want slavery over a little bit of discomfort in the desert. It's called Massah in Meribah, which translated means the place of rebellion and testing or disbelief in God's presence with them. I wonder how often I've bought into things and gone down the wrong path because I felt God's presence was so far away or had left me. behind. Is he in our midst or not, they say. And so, Moses strikes the rock. And what comes forth? Life-giving water. Here, Jesus says, I'll give you water. And she's like, you don't have a bucket. I mean, really? I've got the bucket and the rope. You've got nothing to offer. Now, get out of the way. I'm just getting some water. And he keeps pushing the whole relationship. He wants to enter deeply into her life, and she's like, you men. Right? She's had 5 husbands, and now she's hanging out with the 6th, and it's not working. Otherwise, he'd be out getting the water. Clearly, it's not working. What she wants satisfied, none of these men can offer. What she desires in the depth of her soul, they can't give her. But Jesus can. Right? What does he say? He says, go call your husband and come back. And we're like, no, no, Jesus, don't go there. Remember, she's here at noon. She's not one of the good girls. What would happen if Jesus didn't have that piece in there? In the shorter version, it leaves it out. And I think we miss something if we leave that out. Jesus said, I love you even because you're broken and disregarded by your own community. I love you in the depth of your brokenness and in your thirsting after love. I love you because you're in need. Right? Who did Jesus come for? Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, lepers, beggars, all those people that have been thrown out by their communities. And here's one more. And she's a Samaritan. Jews never talk to Samaritans, let alone walk through their country. And here he is, Jesus, the border crosser, inviting this one to salvation. Because it wasn't about whether you worshipped at Mount Gerizim, where Moses looked at the promised land but did not enter, or in Jerusalem. It was whether you worshipped in spirit and in truth, which needs no building. It only needs that community of faith that builds it up. And at this moment, she doesn't have a community of faith, does she? She's rejected by her own community, probably not even invited to worship on Mount Gerizim. And what happens? Not letting that slow her down at all, she says, well, I'll just head into town and tell everybody about this, and they'll believe me. Fearless apostle to the Gentiles, this woman of Samaria, goes into town and converts her whole village to Christ. I have a lot of work to do. Right? I think we all have a lot of work to do. Juno needs to hear what Paul says in that second reading, that the love of God is just waiting to be poured into our hearts. Poured into our hearts. It's like at the end of the Super Bowl where they take the huge bucket of Gatorade and dump it on you. That's the image. It says that in the Greek. Gatorade bucket dumped on you. Paul wants us to understand that the love of God is so big, our little human hearts couldn't possibly contain it. And it overflows and flows around us and just rushes. And we are soaked in it. But I think I often run around in Gore-Tex saying, don't fall on, don't rain on me. Right? The Gore-Tex of my sin that keeps God out. How many people have hauled water to care for their household? If you lived up in the villages, you hauled water. And so you get your 5-gallon buckets and you go to the city tap and you carry them back. Now, what if you put like really large boulders in your 5-gallon buckets and then went to get water and bring it back? The buckets would be a lot heavier both directions and there wouldn't be a lot of water in the bucket. That image is how I often see my soul when I'm filled with pride or prejudice, those things that so work against God's love. When I exclude others because they're different or far away or don't believe like I do or clearly are wrong and sinful? Sitting in judgment? I'm carrying around heavy buckets of boulders. But I want water. But all I got is a bucket of boulders. And what happens is when I try to fill that bucket with the water of God's love, it has nowhere to go. Because I'm already full. What happened to the woman at Samaria is she came thirsty and with an empty bucket. She came with some prejudice, right? We Samaritans don't talk to you Jewish guys, ever. And yet, she pushed through that limitation to see Jesus first as a prophet and then as Messiah. That's pretty amazing. Will I let go of my boulders that quickly and see God living and moving and acting in my life in places I don't expect at times that are just ordinary? She was collecting water. Right? It's not like, I mean, she was just out doing the daily chores. She wasn't doing anything specific. She hadn't set aside, I think I'm going to pray for 3 hours and get closer to God. She was getting water. And she got a lot more. She got so much more that she was a new person. And we see that because what does she leave behind when she heads to town? The empty bucket. She's not thirsty anymore. She has totally forgotten the fact that she walked down like a mile and a half to the well to get water. And now she's going to run back to town and say, listen, he's told me everything I have done. What does that mean? Another way to translate it is that he loves me in my brokenness. He knows exactly who I am and still loves me. I wonder how often I hold back parts of myself and my life from God, thinking, well, God really doesn't like that part of me. Right? Another boulder in the bucket. And that part of me, nope, that's not good enough for God. Another boulder in the other bucket. And pretty soon, my arms are getting longer and longer. My knees are buckling because I'm carrying around so much weight. And what does God want to give us? Living water. Welling up in us to eternal life that can be never, ever taken away. We can never dry up or be dehydrated if we're connected to this source of living water. And the disciples are clearly not getting it. Right? They don't get it at all. First, they left him alone and were a little surprised that he was talking with a girl when they got back. We're not going to be able to explain this to the other campaign. Jesus, Jesus, what were you doing? And then they say, well, we brought you food. And I guess we'll use her bucket to get some water. Will you eat? And he says, no, I've got other food to eat. And they're like, uh-oh. He's been holding out on us. What's he talking about? And what is his food? What is Jesus' food? What gives him strength and nourishment for his entire ministry? To do the will of the Father who sent me and to complete his work. Well, wait a minute. God's got a job? What's God's job? Well, in the beginning, very beginning, God did what? Created the universe. Okay, good. We're there, Genesis 1. And then in Genesis 2, God created them, male and female. In the divine image, God created them. Okay, so now he's got the universe and humans. And then what? He enters into relationship with us and desires us to enter into relationship with God. God loves us so much. He goes way more than halfway. He's actually welling up in us if we but make space for God within. God loves us so much. And Jesus came to show us that by the way he lived his life. And he went to those who would normally be rejected and looked down upon and made them his disciples, his apostles, those who would carry his message of love to the ends of the earth. this whole Samaritan town, now believes in Jesus because he loved her in her brokenness and gave her living water. What am I willing to let go of? What boulders have I placed in my bucket? What unforgiveness do I continue to carry, or hurt feelings, or animosities, or prejudices? Am I willing to let go of those that God might fill me up? Or am I already so full of myself that I have no need for God? I know when my spiritual life is slipping, when I'm so full of myself and have it all together, that I don't need God. I'm already satisfied. But when I hunger and thirst for God, God more than provides. But I've got to hunger and thirst for the one who is the living water. Why thirst for anything else when God offers us living water? Now, you have some homework. Are you ready? Okay, your homework is to take a post-it note and write, I thirst for blank. You don't have to write out the blank, just leave a blank. And then put that someplace where you might see it regularly. In your checkbook, in your wallet, on your bathroom mirror, in the rearview mirror of your car, on your coffee mug, someplace. Inside the refrigerator, slip it a few extra ones in the paper, hide one in your Bible. But what's going to happen is all this week, I want you to look at that and say, I thirst for power, control. I thirst for, no, those aren't good ones to thirst for, but I was just suggesting some so you could reject them. I thirst for God. I thirst for intimacy with God. I thirst for closeness with God. And this is the best one. You thirst for closeness with God, you've got it. Because where does God abide? Right? Closer than your very breathing, God abides. So you've got it. We just need to open ourselves up to see it, to feel it, to experience it. And it might be those boulders that we're carrying around that God's hiding under one. What do you thirst for? And what are you willing to let go of? So next week, you'll have more homework that you might see. But this week, it is, what do I thirst for? And see what comes up, because we know God will slake your thirst with life-giving water.